If there were an idiot's guide to authoritarian rule, two of the first steps might include the following. One, fire the nation's top law enforcement official. Check. And two, pick a fight with the press by revoking the credentials of a reporter who asks too many questions. Check again. And that's led to a lot of people wondering, is President Trump behaving like an authoritarian? I put that to Sherry Berman, professor of political science at Barnard.
Well, he's certainly not behaving in accordance with the norms and procedures of democracy. And yesterday's actions, firing Jeff Sessions, revoking the press credentials of a CNN reporter, were simply the latest in a long line of actions that make people like myself, who study democracies and dictatorships, quite concerned.
Is it fair to compare Trump to autocrats like Vladimir Putin in Russia or Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Turkey?
So that's a great question, but it's not an easy one to answer. I mean, certainly Donald Trump does not seem to sort of have either a good understanding of or much respect for the norms and procedures of democracy. He obviously prefers to be not restrained. He does not seem to like the idea of checks and balances. He does not seem to understand the way rule of law works. However, our democracies, our democratic institutions are much stronger than those in places like Turkey or Russia.
So lots of people are tempted to compare Trump to Putin and Erdogan. I mean, if you just line up the person, how does Trump compare to like those two leaders?
So there are clearly some qualities that they all share. They're quite uninterested in being constrained. They value loyalty. They don't like checks and balances. And they believe that once elected, they should have pretty much untrammeled power. And so in that sense, there are some very striking similarities among those three leaders, as well as through autocratically inclined politicians elsewhere. Again, the major question is, does the American democratic system have enough strengths to check someone like that in a way that the systems in Russia and Turkey did not?
What examples from history would you cite as kind of parallels to the current presidency?
In American history?
In any history.
Well, in American history, there are certainly times when we have been quite polarized before. And I think those are probably familiar to everyone who's taken an American history class. Not that long ago, we could think about the 1960s, the McCarthy era, and of course, the Civil War. But those are indicative cases, right? Especially the latter, because we tore ourselves apart in the bloodiest conflict in our history. But the more general question about polarization does provide insights, I think, into the conditions under which democracies decay. I mean, democracies fall apart when people have lost faith in them, when they're willing to embrace radical extremists to offer an alternative vision about the way the political system should be organized. And that obviously is antithetical to democracy. So the more those ideas or attitudes spread, the less likely it is to keep those rules of the game in place. That is to say, to have a healthy, well-functioning democratic system.
Let me get back to Trump's feisty and often offensive relationship with the press. We saw a very good example yesterday with the revoking of Jim Acosta, CNN's White House press credentials. The news site Axios in September wrote this, and I quote, "Cable news is setting records. Books are hot again. Newspapers are racking up the digital subscriptions. And an op-ed is a hot gossip topic, all because of the national obsession with the Trump show. Trump and the media, for all his attacks and despite the cultural chasm between them, just can't quit each other." End quote. I mean, CNN and many others are making bank on Trump. How do you square that with Trump in this very authoritarian way, calling the media the enemy of the people? Isn't the press in a devil's bargain of sorts?
It is certainly true that the more interested people are in politics, the better it is in some sense for the media. But a free media, a free press is absolutely essential to democracy. And so regardless of what kind of lock they are in with each other, it is really not appropriate. It is not acceptable. It is not healthy for a democracy for the president to be attacking the media, members of the press, simply for being critical to him.
Sherry Berman, professor of political science at Barnard College in New York. Thank you.
Thank you.